Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, welcome to the La Liga Lowdown mini pod, episode number 4. Now, this is going to have a little bit of a different format to anyone who's started downloading the mini pod and enjoyed it. Thank you so much for being part of our team. We're actually on the road, David Garrido and Diego Lorin here in Barcelona. Diego, we've literally brought me to a corner of Barcelona. Where are we?
That's right, David. We are in La Esquina. La Esquina is a brunch place close to Plaza Catalunya. For anybody that visits Barcelona, this is a must visit if you enjoy your Eggs Benedict, your big tostas with aguacate. So very delicious food, brunch food, soul food, just a good place to come to eat some good food.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. I had some huevos rancheros.
That's right.
Which my dad used to make. Mm-hmm. Both Colombian parents. Wow. And used to make this at home. And this was a good one. This
was a really good homemade one. Rancheros.
Literally every Saturday, man. Oh, wow. When I was younger. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to kind of come down in my PJs and my dad was there making arepas. Mm-hmm. It was Colombian, you know, maize patties almost.
Yeah, the patties,
Oh, yeah. So yeah, it just kind of took me back.
Special sauces?
Do you know what kind of secret sources? He would never. I know. He would never tell me. But yeah, it's great, and it's nice to be here. And I'm here for a mini break as well. And we were actually doing some filming yesterday. Now, without giving the game away too much, Diego, how impressed were you by the person we were speaking to yesterday?
David, yesterday I was in awe. I came back home. I explained to my wife what we had done that day. The person that we met, the insights that that person gave in terms of what it's like to coach a team in Primera División. We got to see the practice facilities. We even got to see the gameplay friendly, which was great. The talent that we saw on that pitch was incredible. And just extremely grateful with the hospitality of both club and the person that we spoke to.
Yeah, I hope that's whetting your appetite, guys, because we're going to be bringing you that on our YouTube channel next week, and we might have a little bit more for you on the mini pod as well. Okay, great. So, obviously no La Liga action this weekend. If you're listening to this on the Monday, we know that Spain are playing another friendly coming up against Argentina on Tuesday, but the game against Germany on Friday night in Dusseldorf, a clash of current and previous world champions, Diego. I mean, and it really lived up to the billing, didn't it?
It did, it did. It got me really excited. Less than 12 weeks to go for the World Cup to start, and we got to see two big favorites to win the World Cup. And it didn't disappoint, as you said. In particular, offensively, I think it was a spectacle.
Yeah.
And in the goalkeeping sense as well, we saw two magnificent goalkeepers do what they do best.
Yeah, they really did. It was two sides that like to play.
Yeah.
And both with offensive fullbacks as well. So we had, obviously, Jordi Alba and Dani Carvajal for Spain. But you also had Kimmich and Hector for Germany. And all great exponents of that art of the fullback, which is such an important part of football these days. We know Guardiola always has really valued that. The current Barcelona team need that as well.
Yes.
In terms of the formation, you look at it on the team sheet when they start, it will be a 4-3-3. But obviously that changes. And for me, I don't know about you, but it felt like a 4-1-2-2-1, if I can sort of put that shape into your head.
So, I think so. With Rodrigo up top.
Yep. And you had probably Silva and Isco off him, floating around a little bit. Iniesta and either Koke or Thiago, the other one being the sitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it felt. Mm. And in terms of offensively, well, it was, of course, Spain who got off to a brilliant start. 6 minutes in, the passing master.
That's it.
Andres Iniesta. And of course, we talked about this on the mini pod last week, right? And about the idea that he might well be leaving at the end of the season. I mean, you know, it just shows just how much worth he still has, not just to Barcelona, but the Spanish national team as well, right?
Absolutely. Too much. He's got too much to give. Please don't go to China. I'm going to say this every weekend, week in, week out. I'm going to beg him because, like you said, he still has so much football, so much quality in his boots. Gave that brilliant pass to Rodrigo. I think it was in the 6th minute, who finished it off perfectly. You know, typical, classic goal for the Spanish national team, led by the master himself, the Don.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a real masterclass in that first half, particularly from Iniesta. And then, of course, he went off in the second half. And perhaps not a surprise because, well, he's into his 30s now and you need to sort of manage that, I suppose, is the best way of putting it. Rodrigo with the goal, playing as the centre-forward. But again, for me, he's not a punta, he's a media punta. An enganche, they would say in Argentina.
Yep.
You know, that sort of player who plays off the number nine. But he did that job very, very well. It was an excellent finish as well. But for me, I don't know if you noticed this, but when Spain were hemmed in a little bit in their own half and Germany were trying to press, suddenly you would see, just to the coming into the right edge of your frame watching it on the TV, Rodrigo was there helping the salida de balón, right? He would just give the outlet and he would be able to receive the pass from Piqué or Carvajal and then allow that move to continue. I thought he was particularly good at that.
Yeah. I mean, it shows you as well kind of the role that he has in Valencia. Like you said, he's not a striker innate striker, right?
Yeah.
So absolutely, he's got so much quality to give. And I think we can say quite fairly and convincingly that Spain has found their number nine. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that Rodrigo, when I saw him play yesterday, the desmarque, we spoke about this word off air, the way he rolls off of defenders, the way he pulls them also with him, creates that space and just times his runs perfectly. I mean, I don't see right now a better striker, a number nine for Spain than Rodrigo.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute. I think there's two people who might disagree with you in and around the Spain national squad right now. Also on Rodrigo, really lovely touch, wasn't it, afterwards, to dedicate his goal to Santi Cañizares after the tragic loss of his 5-year-old son who'd been facing a long battle against illness. And you've probably seen the hashtag on social media, Santi Campeón. Just shows the class of the human being as well, hasn't it?
Yeah. I actually, now you recounting that gives me goosebumps. Our hearts go out to Santi from the entire La Liga Lowdown crew. Te mandamos un abrazo, a big hug. And I mean, I can't imagine the pain that the families go through. So, yeah, just, you know, mucha fuerza, mucho ánimo.
Yeah, absolutely right. Couldn't agree more. In terms of Spain, we always talk about them in possession, don't we? But off the ball, I noticed that, well, they started off having to be pressed by Germany, who went out for it, and then they got a little tired, which is natural, isn't it, after sort of about 20 minutes, half an hour, that you're going to start feeling the effects of that. And then Spain were the ones who were pressing, and I thought actually that was, there was a period of play in that first half, particularly, when they were winning the ball, like it must have been 3 or 4 times in a very short period of time, very high in the opposition half, and keeping that pressure on, particularly the likes of Isco. Let's talk about him, because he was floating around everywhere, right?
Yeah.
But when we talk about Iniesta and his worth to Barcelona, Isco right now doesn't have that same cachet in Real Madrid this season. It wasn't last season, not this season though. And yet, puts on the shirt for La Roja, for the national team, and it transforms. Lopetegui seems to get the best out of him, doesn't he?
He does. And I don't know if you noticed it, but he almost seems to be playing with a smile on his face. He looks happier. He feels that he's important for the squad, and he is, for me, Isco, once titular, indiscutible. He has to be in that starting 11.
Really, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, he's a game changer. He has got so much quality as well in his boots. So, you know, all the credit to Isco, and I'm happy for him.
He was dancing, I think, the best way I can describe it. He was like waltzing around, like, you know, sometimes just not just the way he runs, but whenever that counter-attack came, he was always the man, left side or right side, who would be threatening, running in and just jinking around, dancing. And I think that's the best version of Isco. That's what he does. Magia. You know, that's what they call him, right, in Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, he just felt like he was back to his old self. In terms of negatives, I mean, the goal that Germany scored. What a hit, by the way, from Thomas Müller. Can't take that away from him. But
no.
maybe you could have anticipated that, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know that that's what he does, right?
I think so. And I think that earlier when I mentioned that offensively this game was brilliant, and also from a goalkeeping sense, this was a magnificent game, we have to mention that, that defensively, this game perhaps could have lived up to a better standard.
Yeah.
And you're right, in the Müller's goal, you know, whether it's Iniesta or Thiago that should have been on him, we can argue whether, you know, had Busquets been playing, would he have been closing in on Müller a little bit quicker? That's all debatable, but yeah, for sure. I mean, from 30 meters out, you cannot let Müller be so free and have an open kick at goal.
He strikes it also beautifully. It moves up and down as well. That is not easy for any keeper to save.
Yeah.
Let alone Dabia Hare.
And
actually, we've got a comment in from Nilay Didolka, who was contacting us on Twitter after we asked for your feedback on the game. And he says, the best defence, the best goalkeeper were in place, and still Müller scored. But only goes to show how brilliant the strike was. It was the midfield's fault, he says. Mm. They should have closed in on Müller, as you said, Diego. Mm. You can see Iniesta trying to make it, but it was late. And I think, actually, one of the things that this leads us to is the makeup of that midfield. Now, it must be quite tough for Julian Lopetegui, but let's call it an embarrassment of riches, because he's got so much there he can pick from. But the balance of the midfield is crucial.
Mm. And of course, last night, he started off with Iniesta, Koke, and Thiago in that midfield three. But, okay, Iniesta, we understand what he does, but it felt like Koke and Thiago, who were trying to share that holding role, were neither of them are that holding role. And, of course, who is?
Sergio Busquets.
That's it. Yeah. No, exactly. Busi, of course, would normally be in that starting 11. Thiago, as great as he is right now, cannot feel the boots of Sergio Busquets. It's not his natural position neither. But, you know, missing out on Busi is huge. He's a fantastic player, so you're going to notice it when he's not out on the pitch.
And that's not just from a Barcelona perspective, that's from a Spain national team perspective, of course. Hasnain Nazir has contacted us and said this game is a prime example of how important Busquets is to Spain. We expect Thiago to control tempo, but he did not. And actually, tempo, for me, is a really important word. It's something that you dictate.
Yeah.
When Spain are playing well, it's because they are dictating the tempo. And they need a number of people to be able to do that. Busquets is one, Iniesta's another, and Isco is another. Different phases of the tempo, different speeds of tempo. You go from maybe piano and adagio, you know, to something a little bit more frantic, and then eventually, hey presto, you get your goal from someone like Isco or Rodrigo. So I think that's a really good point. Thank you for telling us about that one. Now, let's just talk a little bit about the keepers, and you mentioned this before.
Yeah.
How do you rate these keepers as far as their standing in world football?
The two best goalkeepers in the world at the moment. I think that's fair to say. I think we can debate anybody that wants to throw in the mix. Names like Courtois, Keylor Navas, Neuer.
Lloris at Tottenham as well for the French national team. Maybe he's had some good moments.
Sure, they're great goalkeepers out there. But for me, the two, at least the two best informed goalkeepers, Ter Stegen and De Gea. We saw it last night. I mean, magnificent saves coming from both ends.
Yeah, Ter Stegen denied his score. De Gea save from Draxler, fingertip save. Gundogan's effort pushed around the post as well. And actually, Germany, I have to say, in that second half, it's like Joachim Löw said to them at half-time, right, okay, you've got to get into this game.
We've got to do something.
We're 1-1 at half-time, but actually maybe a little bit fortunate to be still level.
Yeah.
And for me, again, we talk about the full-backs. Kimmich was really impressive. He got into attacking areas even when he wasn't supposed to be there. Hector as well. And Toni Kroos is one of those players, he does his job sort of effortlessly sometimes. He looks so elegant on the ball. And everything went through him. And I think he's going to be absolutely pivotal for Germany come Russia in 12 weeks' time.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Let's move on then and just have a few more of your thoughts. Okay, this one's from Ryan Plant.
Okay, yep. He's saying Spain were definitely on top until the customary shitload of second half subs that make friendlies so stop start. The midfielders started were a class above, and Rodrigo was a willing runner whilst he was on the pitch. And compliments to Carvajal for keeping a fresh Sané quiet.
Yeah, I agree with that, true. Actually. I think Carvajal looked a little vulnerable, I thought, in the first half.
Yeah,
I noticed that Hector got in behind a couple of times.
I think so too, David. I think, in fact, both, I would mention from the Spain's defence, Carvajal and Piqué didn't have their best matches.
Yeah, but Piqué got closed down a couple of times.
He did.
Trying to close the, you know, just clear the ball.
Yeah.
This is from Dapiwa Musa. Amazing display of midfield depth from both teams. Especially if I was Lopetegui, my head would explode trying to pick a midfield for the World Cup. Yeah, agree with
Un
that.
Un problema de lujo, for sure.
Yeah,
luxury
but
problem.
Like we were saying, right? Embarrassment of riches. Yeah. This is from Otkratzi. I think the first half was great for Spain. They played very well. And their fielders were exceptional. I think Odriozola at right back would have added some pace going forward, but Carvajal did okay. It's interesting. I think that's actually that position for me isn't entirely nailed down. I'd say left back is with Jordi Alba, but right back Odriozola has a chance there.
Oh, come on, he has to. He's having such a phenomenal season. Yeah. I think he definitely deserves the opportunity. You know, given Carvajal's performance yesterday, I expect Odriozola to be playing against Argentina.
Yeah, he's got to at least be given some minutes there. I think if you're picking your first 11 for Spain's opening game right now, you start with Carvajal. I think you wouldn't necessarily take a risk in such a big game.
No, but you want to see his worth, make him prove his worth.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he is the understudy. He is the man who is pushing Carvajal for that place at right
absolutely.
Back. He needs to be in that 23.
Yeah.
And also, you've got a player like Nacho, who did come on yesterday, who can play in that position. Mm-hmm. So there is some cover there as well for Lopetegui. And just to finish up, can I see his tweet? Overall, was pleased in the first half. Second half, maybe because changes wasn't that great. I mean, listen, I think, you know, it was bound to at some point have a bit of a lull. I think after the goal, we had a bit of a lull. And then we had that sort of frantic period a little bit after half-time. And look, this is, you know, two sides who didn't treat this as a friendly.
No.
You know, they didn't want to be embarrassed by the other.
Right.
And so at some point, that quality is going to drop when they put so much in.
It's going to drop. And it's still, I mean, it wasn't treated as a friendly, but it's still a friendly. You saw that by Lopetegui's, you know, changes, bringing in everybody he could, from Asensio to Diego Costa to Lucas Vázquez. You know, they obviously wanted to play this match as well, and it was good for Lopetegui to try out, say, the B team as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Florentino Fadness, I hope I've got your surname right there, Florentino. Thank you for your tweet. One of the best defences still concedes from Milan. Yes, Isco is so important for the team, absolutely, as previously discussed. Now, I had a little conversation with a guy who calls himself Uncho on Twitter, asking for the feedback, and he said, bad performance and poor tactics.
Okay.
So I said, okay,
he was watching
yourself,
the same. He was watching
the same
game.
I don't
right?
know. Okay, but he said, okay, first and foremost, Lopetegui used Thiago on number 6 role, which is not his best position.
Right, I agree.
And other Saul, he is not able to play in that position either. I would say it's just not his typical role, right?
Yes.
You need him closer to the goal. We missed Javier Martinez in that role, he says, and he carries on. That was the first fail on that match. We need the combative number 6, like Martinez. Okay, so let's pick this apart a little bit.
Interesting.
Javier Martinez, an enforcer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to kind of go back historically, it's that Marcos Senna type figure.
Yeah.
Do you think Spain need that role in the 11?
I think Uncho is onto something. He's surely bringing up a valid point. Thinking about it, it doesn't really mix in with the style of play that we are accustomed to over the past years from Spain. That is.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
more creative, less destructive, more free-flowing, offensive-minded football. So I think it would depend who we're facing. You know, I think it would be interesting to have him on the bench, but not. I wouldn't have him start. I don't think he fits that philosophy that Lopetegui's trying to implement in this squad.
I think it's interesting. He's the sort of player that maybe if Spain are 2-0 up, and actually you want to protect that result.
Exactly.
Maybe you bring in an extra body who's
sure.
that wall in front of the back four. Or back three, depending on how Lopetegui wants to go. But I sense it's four. I think that from the start, it's not part of the ethos to protect. It's part of the ethos to go and play.
That's it.
And go and attack the opposition. So I think Uncho's got a point. Mm. I'm just not sure that he will necessarily make the 23, but sometimes you need that insurance policy, mm-hmm. right? And that's, mm-hmm. I think, what Javi Martinez is.
Well, so that's as far as the makeup of the midfield is concerned. Now, you brought up this point earlier, Diego. Let's reprise that now. Diego Costa.
Yeah.
Rodrigo. And I'm going to chuck in here Alvaro Morata, who wasn't in this squad.
Yeah.
Now, do Spain need that number nine type figure, or do you actually more play the false nine like Rodrigo? Do you still take one or two of Diego Costa and Morata? You've got to take one of them, surely?
I think we forget about all three and get Cesc Fabregas back as false number nine. No, I'm joking, of course. But look.
Costa missed his big chance, didn't he?
He definitely missed his big chance. And it's funny you mentioned this now, because I actually recently saw, and I don't want to deviate too much because we're on a tight schedule here, but I recently saw the documentary of Spain's World Cup run in 2010.
Yeah.
That game when Fernando Llorente came on, a crucial game. Obviously, Llorente at that time was the pivotal number nine, a very tall guy, and he scored two goals in a match that where the false number nine just wasn't working.
Yeah.
So I think, again, maybe kind of like the Javi Martinez, it's good to have that type of joker on the bench. And Diego Costa, we saw it yesterday, he didn't... no aprovechó su oportunidad. He didn't take...
didn't make the most of it.
Didn't make the most of his chance, thank you.
Yeah.
And Rodrigo did. That's why I think Rodrigo is the way to go. As far as Morata is concerned, he's not having the best of seasons with Chelsea. You know, I don't know how...
He's been injured too. That's going to have an impact. Having seen Alvaro Morata a number of times last season for Real Madrid and the pivotal role he played, off the bench, plan B, whatever you want to call it. But it wasn't just... someone's upset their child over there. It wasn't just... It's a very busy cafe, by the way. But that's because it's just so good. Had an awesome Huevo Frangelos earlier. It's okay. She's being let out and she's...
She doesn't want to leave. That's why she's trying.
That aguacate was just too good. So he played in a number of different positions in the front three. He was sometimes more de banda, but a little bit more wide. Sometimes he was, you know, that man in the centre, in that six-yard box, heading home, whatever.
Yeah.
I think he does have still a bit of an all-round quality that gives, again, Lopetegui options. But he needs to put himself in the conversation. And I think that Rodrigo, as you said, I mean, 16 La Liga goals or 16 goals a season, is, I think, actually the man who understood the philosophy the best.
That's it.
Against the world champions, right?
Exactly.
In their backyard.
In their home, yep, right. Yep.
So it. I think, you know, it's going to be really interesting how that develops over, you know, the next few months.
Mm.
Obviously, it depends a bit on their club form and what Lopetegui takes away from this.
Mm.
And as for the national manager, he said that he was pretty happy with the way things went last night.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really grumble too much about a 1-1 draw against the world champions, right?
No.
And also, I think that he's got options now. And he's decided to go with a fairly strong team to start that. I wasn't sure that the subs necessarily made too much of an impact. Marco Asensio had a few little bits, maybe.
Yeah, he had a good pass to Diego Costa, who, again, like we said, didn't make the best of that opportunity.
Saúl, Nacho, I mean, you know, they weren't... Nacho didn't have too much to do.
Saúl
was playing in an opposition.
Yeah.
Then you had Lucas Vázquez, who came on late.
Yeah, Rodri in the 81st.
And that was good, wasn't it? Just to see him make his debut, right?
His debut, exactly. That was good to see him make his debut. But, you know, what was it, 9-10 minutes of play, obviously, is hard to judge.
He's earned his place, though, I think.
Sure.
He's had an excellent
Villarreal
season. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we didn't see Dani Parejo, didn't see Marcos Alonso, who were the other ones who were
a lot of the guys on Twitter, La Liga Lowdown.
Yeah, you were mobbed, right, by TCF fans.
Dani Parejo guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there was a big call. I think so. You may have seen it earlier on the La Liga Lowdown Twitter account earlier last week. Now that Diego posted Spain 11, the starting 11, but with one question mark.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was on the right side of midfield,
exactly.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
And everyone said Parejo, Parejo, Parejo.
Yeah.
Didn't feature last night, but we will find out with the replays in the yeah. second of the international friendlies.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's. By the way, just one other thing to mention. So Rodri making his first appearance with Spain. And I know you'll absolutely love this. Sergio Ramos, 150 and counting for Spain.
Yes.
So just 17 behind Casillas on the record. I mean, like, that's still a pretty, no matter who you support, right?
No,
I mean, that's just a pretty impressive achievement.
Absolutely. Let's hope he can continue to produce as he has been. He's a phenomenal, very solid defender. And congratulations to Ramos for making 150 caps.
I would love to see what's on the WhatsApp group, by the way, that Gerard Piqué has set up between the Real Madrid.
That's great.
And,
I'd love to.
Entitled Congratulations, because obviously it was about Real Madrid players boasting about their Liga and European Cup success last season, and then of course this season it's all very, very different.
That's it.
Right, let's talk about the other La Liga scorers then who were involved. So for Portugal, Cristiano Ronaldo scored twice against Egypt. They were 1-0 down until the 19th minute. Ronaldo got them out of jail. For Brazil, Coutinho.
Wait,
and
by the way, David, just to mention, Ronaldo now the third all-time goal scorer, or how did it break down? The third most.
Yeah, the man who scored the third most goals in international football.
Right, that's it.
So it's behind Ali Dia from Iran.
Yes,
and
Kouala, if I'm not mistaken.
There we go. Right, yes. So he's, and I think he's only three behind.
Yes.
So, you know, he's another master. That's very good of
well
you to mention that.
Yeah, there you go, guys.
Coutinho, Paulinho scoring for Brazil in their 3-0 win over Russia, and another Barcelona player, Luis Suarez, scoring in the China Cup for Uruguay against Czech Republic. A Uruguay play on Monday against Wales in the final for that. Luis Muriel for Colombia against France. 3-2, they won that game, having been 2-0 down.
David, extra happy because of this result.
And as we were discussing last night, and I put it on Twitter as well, just utterly enthused and motivated by that, there is a Colombia away kit that Adidas have just released.
That is phenomenal.
Isn't it a good kit?
It's so good.
Oh my goodness. And actually some people are saying it looks like the Dutch away kit, right?
I saw that comment. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
It could easily be.
Yeah.
But keep your hands off it, man. It does.
We're not even going to be there.
We'll come to that in a minute. Ever Banega for Argentina versus Italy, also scoring another Sevilla player along with Luis Muriel, and Miguel Layún overnight. 2 for Mexico against Iceland as they won 3-0. So all of those scorers from La Liga clubs, and all of them scoring in victories for
victories,
the national team.
Yeah, yeah.
So that just shows that La Liga is prospering. Let's take a moment to spare a thought for those teams who are not at the World Cup. Of course, Chile is one, Italy another, the Netherlands, and of course the big one, Scotland. They're not there. And also, talking about Scotland, Ewan McTerry, I apologise in advance for this, one of our fellow members of La Liga Lowdown crew. So when Scotland played Costa Rica in the 1990 World Cup, I think it was 1990, but it was a while ago, but they lost Costa Rica, and it was one of the sort of worst results really in Scottish national football history. They played Costa Rica and lost 1-0 in this international break.
Ouch.
Yeah, Alex McLeish starting his reign
as
Scotland.
I would have thought so.
So in terms of Diego, yes, you are. Well, explain, you are Dutch or you are Spanish or you are? What are you?
I'm both.
Okay.
My mother is Spanish and my father is Dutch. So I've always been in a position of privilege because I always managed to see two excellent national sides go out to the Euros, to the World Cup finals, and reach the final in 2010, of course.
But two teams that had never won the World Cup until 2010, when one of them had to because they were in that final.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
Well, that was weird. A lot of mixed emotions, and I initially thought that my heart was going to go a little bit more with Oranje, with the Dutch national side.
Yeah.
Simply because I grew up in London. I was born there. I lived there since I was 10. And the 1988 Euro Cup is one that really sparked my love and passion for football. Obviously, Holland won that with the team led by Van Basten, Gullit, Rijkaard, all those guys. And
what a kit, by the way, as well.
And what a kit. Yeah, talk about good kits. So, you know, I always have a feeling that the World Cup owes a trophy to Holland, you know, given that we've made the finals, I think it's now three or three or four times?
I think it's four. Well, I'm just trying to work it out.
So 74, 78, and what, 2010.
Okay, so three.
So three times the finals, semifinals a bunch of other times. Just had always phenomenal quality. Look at Kluivert, Bergkamp. You know, I can sit here all day.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe my heart will go a little bit more with Holland. However, once kickoff started and I saw the way the Dutch team came out, so aggressive, anti-football, so anti-total football, which is a Dutch concept, of course. I quickly, you know, moved over to my Spanish side and wanted that Spain team to win, who had been playing phenomenal, more Dutch-style football as well. So I was very happy with the win, disappointed with the way Holland...
And the goal?
And the goal, obviously. Yeah. Iniesta with that brilliant in extra time winner to give Spain the deserved World Cup. I don't think anybody can argue.
No. I think that, you know, the consensus of opinion would be absolutely be...
Yeah.
About, you know, Spain being deserved winners, playing the right kind of way.
Exactly.
And by the way, just on Iniesta, as you're aware, he's from Fuentealbilla near Albacete.
That's right.
And so, that's right. I mean, he's a proud Spaniard as much as he's a proud Barcelona man.
Mm-hmm.
And a man who's got just immense respect wherever he goes. He's the only man who gets genuinely applauded by the Bernabeu, for example.
Everywhere.
Yeah, and he's
except for Bilbao, which hopefully they will do that one day.
Or come to their senses. So I went to Albacete in, I think it was October. I went to Bodega Iniesta. Because, of course, his family are winemakers,
right?
And it's not just, I'm a footballer, I've got rich, spend money on a winery, right? This is in his blood, this is in his bloodline and his family. Generations of winemakers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And there is a bottle... called El Hechicero, the magician, the wizard, but also there's a bottle called 116th Minute. So you tell me when your birthday is and I'll send over a few of those bottles. It's really good, actually.
Nice. You've had it?
Yeah. All right. I went to the bodega as well. I had a look around there, learned a lot about the winemaking process and just about their own family history. And it is like a little Iniesta shrine. Oh, my days, you've got to go. You know, next time you want to take a little break away with your family, maybe Albacete is cool, by the way.
Yeah.
And also, just the bodega and the Iniesta itself, inside, they've got like loads of framed pictures, shirts, all the kind of usual football memorabilia. Focused, obviously, on the win in South Africa, but also 2009 Stamford Bridge.
Oh, yes.
Now, I was very fortunate, and I am basically also a huge Iniesta fan. Mm. And I was very fortunate to see both of those goals with my own eyes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So I was there in Stamford Bridge as well, but not in 2010.
We did not see each other? How is it possible?
Yeah. But you were in the stadium for both occasions?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, amazing. It was interesting because, obviously, it was Chelsea against Barcelona, second leg. And the fact that I was covering it for a British radio station and it would have been... If they'd gone through, Chelsea matched United again in the Champions League final as it happened the year before. And I just remember not just the strike and actually thinking, wow, that's the strike that is worthy of winning this time.
Yeah,
But secondly, Didier Drogba going over to the referee and pointing in his face, blah, blah.
All that.
All of that.
And then,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this was such a, you know, a feisty game, rivalry.
A controversial game. I'm willing to also admit that.
Yeah. But then, you know, then within pretty much a year or that there or thereabouts, watching Iniesta score that goal in Soccer City in Joburg as Spain won the World Cup. I mean, he just is. Whatever happens, you know, end of April as it is, that he's going to make his decision, whatever happens. My goodness, he has made his contribution to football, both Barcelona and Spain, and it's all profiled in Bodega Iniesta, but my goodness,
that's
a player.
That's it, and I think, you know, because of the reasons you just mentioned, all culés and Spaniards will accept whatever decision he makes. The doors will always be open for him to come and go as he pleases.
Yeah.
There will be no grudges held if he chooses to leave. You know, quite the contrary. I mean, let's enjoy the time that he's still here. And like he showed last night, and with Barca week in, week out, it's got so much football.
There will be people making offers left, right, and centre. As soon as he says that he's hanging up, you come and coach us. And I know this for a fact because I've spoken to the guys at Albacete Balompié, and they have this dream. At some point, Iniesta will be managing them in Primera, in La Liga, as and when they can make it up there, and that's what they ultimately want to do in a few years' time.
That'll be nice.
But of course, there will be connections to La Masia, and having some sort of role with the youth categories there, etc., etc. So you felt a bit more Spanish than Dutch? on that occasion.
Again, when I saw the game progress, yes.
You back the right horse. You're like, I don't like the way this is going. Got to back the winners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm the same with Colombia and England because they met in the 98 World Cup. They were in the same group. And I knew this was going to be horrible. And England won 2-0. Beckham scored a great free kick. Famous sort of like celebration.
Yeah, I remember pumping. That. Of course, of course.
But they were wearing the red as well, England, and that's often seen to be a lucky kit for England too. Mm. And the next day, I just couldn't live it down. Like, people were just like, oh, Colombia fan, are you? Oh, yeah. You watch the game, enjoy it. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah. But I still remain, and it will always be the case. If Colombia meet England in Russia at some point, I will be hopefully wearing my new Colombia away kit and supporting. Go. There Los Cafeteros.
There you go. But you know, the thing is, I mean, you're lucky because both your parents are Colombian.
Yes.
Whereas my parents are Dutch Spanish. So I was speaking with my mother before the game, and she said, I will divorce your father if you back Holland. And my father was threatening to keep me out of the will, so if I wasn't backing
Spain,
Holland. So.
Insight into Lorraine family politics. For the rest of the lowdown crew, Paco, well, you've got Portugal, Iran, and Morocco. Obviously, Paco is from Valencia and he's Spanish. Alex is with Sweden. And not only is she with Sweden, she is physically with Sweden because she'll be covering for FIFA, the Swedish national team.
Congratulations.
Excellent work, Alex. Fantastic. Germany, South Korea, and Mexico in your group, my love. And for me, it's Japan, Poland, and Senegal, Ewan and Diego. Enjoy the World Cup from the comfort of your armchair. Just to wrap up, guys, we're past the half hour mark, so we'll quickly wrap up for you. Our website is now live, so go look at it. It's www.laligalowdown.com. All of our content in one place, so that's all the YouTube videos, the podcasts as well, photos and things there too, and a little bit more about the squad. On our YouTube channel, 60 Second Standoff comes to you on the Tuesday. We turn that into a poll on Twitter on Wednesday, and on Thursday we've got our emoji challenge. And don't forget the mini pod. If you enjoy this, then give us a 5-star rating. Be a love. Give us a nice rating and a nice comment, and we will be forever grateful. That's it from me and Diego.
That's it. It was a pleasure, David. So good to meet you and so good to hang out.
Hey man, this face-to-face contact.
Yes.
Forget WhatsApp and social media. This is the new thing.
The real deal.
Brilliant. Absolute pleasure to meet you too, sir. And don't forget, we'll see you next time here on our Legal Lowdown mini pod.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.